Thanks for joining us here, Northwest Chinese Baptist Church, our English worship. If there's anybody new here this morning, my name is Stephen Yi, and I'm one of the pastors here, and we're so glad that you're joining us, and especially for my dear church family, you regulars, I'm really thankful that you guys are joining us as well. Bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, we praise you. You're the creator. You are almighty. You are in control. God, you are perfect in all your ways. And God, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have to meet online, to worship you, to study your word, to fellowship with one another. And God, I thank you for each church family member, each friend that is joining us this morning. And God, I ask that you would open our hearts, open our eyes to your spirit, open our hearts to your word. God, help us to understand your word this morning. Help us to get to know you more. God, help us to grow to love you more and to know your love. God, I thank you for your provision. Thank you for how you take care of our every need, and you bless us more than we could ever imagine. And God, I thank you for your amazing grace and your unending love, that you demonstrated your love through sending your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sin that separated us from you. God, thank you for making a way for us to live, to have eternal life, to be with you. And God, during these times, I know that there are so many people that are suffering. There are so many people that are going through difficult times. And God, I lift them up to you. I pray, God, that they would know and experience your peace. They would experience, God, your presence, that they would know that you are here, that you are there with them. And God, that they would know that you care. And in the midst of these difficulties, God, I pray that each one would know that you have a plan. And God, I pray that their faith would be strengthened during this difficult time. And so God, thank you. What a joy it is. What a privilege it is to gather together in worship. And God, I pray for our church. I pray that we would continue to be faithful, that we would continue, God, to serve you with everything. And even though we may not be able to gather all together in one building, God, we know that we are bound together by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is a bond that can never be broken. And so, God, we thank you. Thank you for the bond that we share. Thank you for the unity that we have in Jesus. Thank you for this dear church family here at Northwest. And so I thank you for each person. And God, we give this time to you. And we pray, God, that your will be done. We pray, God, that you would be lifted up and glorified. And thank you. Thank you that we have this time to worship you freely. And I thank you for each person here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. But I want to ask you guys a question here. Okay, it's a little pop quiz time. All right, to see if you guys have this knowledge. Here's a question for you. There's two questions. Well, here's the first one. How many conscious decisions does the average adult make per day? That's multiple choice. All right. So is it A, 35,000, B, 7,300, C, 628, or D, 1? Please don't pick D. All right, well, if you guessed A, 35,000, the average adult makes 35,000 conscious decisions. I'm not talking about the unconscious decisions or the automatic decisions that we make, but 35,000 conscious decisions. This was a study done, I think, in 2013. Well, here's the second question. Here's the second question for you. How many decisions does the average person make per day about food? Okay, A, 1 million, B, 3,800, C, 227, or D, 1? wow, if you make one decision about food every day, please tell me your secret. All right, well, you guessed it. It's not 1 million. It's not 3,800. 227, about 227 decisions are made by the average person about food alone per day. All right. Now, I wanted to share these statistics with you guys. And actually, this statistic about food was a study that was done at Cornell University. And so, if that helps or not. But it was interesting to me to consider the number of decisions that we make each day. And this morning, we're talking about how to discern God's will. Now, I know we can talk very generally about God's will, but I think in our passage this morning, we're going to see an example of how the disciples made a decision. They had a very important decision to make, and we're going to see how they made that decision. And so that's why what we're talking about this morning, we're talking about discerning the will of God. And the last time I preached, we studied Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And now we're going to study Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 26. But what I want to do before we jump into the passage, I want to share with you a story. You know, as most of you know, I obtained my Master's of Divinity. And when I was doing my studies in seminary, I took a class on church leadership, and for some reason, I'll never forget this story that I read, and I want to share, I'll kind of summarize it for you. I'll always remember this story, and it's about a church that had a very important decision to make. I don't remember what the decision was, but as they always did, they called a special business meeting to discuss the issue. And many people in the church showed up, many church leaders, many church members showed up to this special business meeting because they wanted to participate in the discussion and the decision-making process. And so during the meeting, one by one, people started to offer their thoughts. They offered their thoughts, their suggestions, their opinions, and most of the opinions were very thoughtful, very helpful, very relevant to the decision and the topic at hand. And more church members, as they joined the conversation, joined the discussion, you know, the sharing would usually sound something like this, or it'd start off something like this, in my opinion, or I think we should. And though the suggestions were mostly good, it was difficult for this group to come to a consensus with so many opinions being offered. So as the meeting continued on and on, people were sharing, right? Well, I think we should, I would like us to. This meeting went on for hours, and the church was making no progress in coming to a conclusion in regards to the matter at hand. And people even started to get agitated, and arguments started to arise in this meeting, this church business meeting. People were getting frustrated. And finally, one church member who wasn't part of the, didn't really contribute anything yet, raised their hand. The church member raised their hand, and they had an opportunity to speak. You know, everyone was restless. Everyone was thinking to themselves, oh, here we go, another opinion. But this member stood up and said, I appreciate all of your opinions, but can I make a suggestion? Instead of sharing what I think we should do, can we please take a moment to pray and seek God's will together? Can we please together ask God what He would call us to do? And for once during that meeting, the meeting was silent. And they ended up praying together. You know, I don't want this to sound too dramatic, but shortly after that time of prayer and that refocusing, they were able to come to a consensus. And they were able to make a decision. And I share that with you because I want to ask you to think about your life. Do you have any important decisions to make today? If so, would you like to know what God's will is regarding those decisions? And I'm sure everyone would answer a resounding yes. Yes, we all have decisions to make. Obviously, like I just shared, we make 35,000 of them per day. We all would like to know what God would have us do in every situation. Wouldn't that make life so much easier? Well, actually, I think it would also make life harder if we really knew, if we would actually obey what God is calling us to do. You know, I know all of us have a lot of decisions to make. Some of you are considering career changes. Some of you are deciding what school to go to, what career path to pursue. Some of you may be considering moving or relocating or making a major purchase. Others may be considering a change in relationship, getting married, or even having children, fostering children, adopting children. And others of you, maybe you feel a sense that God's calling you to some vocational ministry. Maybe God's calling you to be a pastor, or to go on missions, or to go and proclaim the gospel, or to go across the street and talk to your neighbors. Maybe God's calling you to do something like that. And you have these decisions to make. Decisions, decisions. And you know, the list could go on. I could list thousands of decisions that we have to make, or that we may be facing. I believe God wants us to know His will, especially about these important decisions in life. And yet a lot of times we make discovering God's will more complicated than it really should be. And here's the reality, right? We know that God's not going to give us every single little detail in life. But what we can do is we can trust that He does know every little detail. Not only does He know, but He's planned for every little detail of life, of creation, of eternity. And we can trust and rest in the fact that His plans are perfect. And so is His provision. And so that brings us to this key truth that I want us to focus in on as we study this passage this morning in Acts chapter 1. And it's this: discerning God's will requires a surrender of our will to His way and His word. Discerning God's will requires a surrender of our will to His way and His word. And so how can we discern the will of God? Well, I want to invite you to open up your Bibles and turn. I'm going to show it on the screen here too, but if you have your Bible, open it up to Acts chapter 1. And as you're turning there to Acts chapter 1, verses 12, starting in verse 12, I wanted to share a little background with you. And of course, the author of the book of Acts is Luke. And Luke is showing us that God's will is being accomplished, and it has been being accomplished even from the beginning of creation. And so if you think about the narrative of the Bible, you think about, from the beginning, Genesis, from creation, right? God's plans are being accomplished. You think about creation, you think about the brokenness when Adam and Eve sinned, you think about God choosing His people, the chosen people, His covenant people of Israel. You think about the Old Testament promises and how in the Old Testament, God promised a Messiah, a Savior would come. You think about, we've learned about how the Old Testament was fulfilled. That Old Testament promise and prophecy of the Messiah, the Savior, was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And we know and we've read and we see how Christ then promises the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that's where we are here in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit was going to come after Jesus ascended to heaven. After Jesus died, He rose from the dead, and then He revealed Himself to the disciples and other people. And then He was going to ascend to heaven, and He would send the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He enables the apostles and Christians, for that matter, to fulfill the Great Commission, right? To preach, to gather as the church, and to go out as the church, making disciples, being witnesses of Jesus Christ. And that's what we studied last time, as we were reminded of our identity as witnesses of Jesus Christ, to go out to the ends of the earth, proclaiming what we've seen and what we've heard, the good news about Jesus Christ. And so here we are, right? Jesus died, he rose from the dead. And after he rose, right, he spent about 40 days teaching the disciples. He taught the disciples. He revealed himself to the disciples, preparing them for when he would leave and ascend to heaven. And so what happens? Jesus does ascend to heaven, but he reminds them, right? The Holy Spirit is going to come to help them as their helper. And the Holy Spirit will help them carry on the mission. And so God is doing so much here. You know, just in this passage, and I know if you've read this passage before or you're looking at it now, you're saying, no, Pastor Steve, this is about when they replaced Judas with another disciple. And you're right. But what I want us to focus in on, again, let's look at what God is doing. Let's look at what God is doing in the disciples' minds and in their hearts. And let's look at how this decision of choosing the disciple to replace Judas, right? Judas betrayed Jesus. Let's look at how they make that decision and see what we can learn about discerning God's will. And so Jesus spent this time with them. God is doing some amazing things, as we're going to see. And if you really think about it, right, you look at the whole narrative, the story of the Bible, you look at what God was doing all throughout since the beginning of creation, God is working out his redemptive plan, right? Because of sin, all of us have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. And the penalty for our sin is death, right? We all know that. But our cure, our cure is a savior, right? Jesus. Jesus came, died on the cross, paid the price for our sin, and now offers us forgiveness and eternal life when we place our faith in him as our Lord, as our Savior. And see, so Jesus was preparing these apostles, all right, for their role in God's redemptive plan. And if you were to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, the apostles and the prophets, they are the foundation of the church. They were God planned for the apostles and the prophets to be the foundation of the church. Well, of course, Jesus is the foundation, but the apostles and the prophets were that first generation, and they were the one that were going to start the church. And so look at what Jesus did. Jesus, and before we get in, read this passage or this section of scripture, Jesus assured the disciples through preparation. Right? We'll notice that during that 40 days, he spent with them teaching them the word of God, going through the word of God, all that they had been learning, right? And all that they knew, he went through it with them and explained it to them. He taught it to them. I can only imagine what that was like to have Jesus going through the word of God and teaching them personally. Not only did he help them to prepare, Jesus assured them with his presence, right? He actually spent time with them in those 40 days. And Jesus also assured them with his power, right? He reminded them, I'm going to leave, but the Holy Spirit is going to come. So all this was going on here in Acts chapter 1. And here we are in verse 12 through 14. So I want to read this section to you now. Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, what do we see in this passage in verses 12 through 14? Jesus chose, right? We know Jesus chose 12 disciples. One defected, that was Judas, who betrayed Jesus, right? And we see that there were qualifications for an apostle. These apostles were different than other followers of Jesus because they were eyewitnesses of the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection, of Jesus Christ. And not only were they eyewitnesses, but they were specifically chosen by God. And if you want to see that truth reference, you can look in Acts chapter 10, verse 39, or you can write that down, Acts chapter 10, verse 39. The apostles were chosen specifically by God. And so God planned for this first generation of 12 apostles, these preachers who were eyewitnesses of Jesus. And he gifts them, right? We talk about spiritual gifts. He gifted the apostles supernaturally. Why? To validate that they were representatives of God. And so we see Judas is out of the picture now as an apostle because of his sin, his betrayal. And so they needed to fill a spot. There needed to be 12 apostles. And so the disciples had a very important decision to make. And so how did they discern God's will? And that's encouragement for us here. That first encouragement that I wanted to share with you, how can we discern the will of God? First thing we can do is make our decisions in view of God's plan of redemption. Remember that God has a plan, and we need to prioritize his plan. And that's how we can know God's will. In order to know it, we need to prioritize his plan and make a decision in view of his plan of redemption. And so we need to ask ourselves, right? How will this make an immediate impact for the kingdom of God? How will this make an immediate impact for the kingdom of God? And how will this make an eternal impact for the kingdom of God? You know, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." Right? God has a plan, and he's working everything out, conforming everything with purpose, with the purpose of his will. He chose the apostles. He's chosen us to be brought out of the darkness into the light. He's opened our eyes to the good news of Jesus Christ. He's opened your eyes to the truth of Jesus Christ and your need for a Savior. It's all part of God's plan. You know, God's plan, his plans have always been unfolding as he's sovereignly orchestrated. And so Jesus commanded the disciples, after he ascended, right, he commanded them to wait in Jerusalem. And he said, wait, guys, wait until you receive power from the Holy Spirit. And what did the disciples do this time? They obeyed. So they came down from the mountain, Mount of Olives, and they went back to the room. And this may very well be that upper room, right? You remember the upper room where they shared that Last Supper? That upper room where Jesus came to them. Imagine that room, all the memories, all the things that have gone on in that room between them and Jesus. And not only are the disciples there, but there are women there. It doesn't list them all, but we know that Jesus's mother, Mary, is there. And not only Jesus's mother, right? But it says Jesus's brothers are there. Why is that so important? And this should be amazing to us. Why? Because Jesus's brothers, they did not believe that he was the Messiah at first. But each one of them came to faith, came to trust him as Lord, as Savior. He had four of them: James, Joseph, Simon, and Jude. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, we will see that James, he sees Jesus after the resurrection. And it was that encounter, that meeting that led to James's conversion. And he was the first one of the brothers to follow Jesus and believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And then all of the other brothers followed as well after that. How amazing is that? So what were these people doing in the upper room there, waiting? They were waiting, they were praying, they were worshiping, they were fellowshipping with one another. And so here's the thing. If God is creator, if he's all powerful, if he's all knowing, if he's totally in control, then we need to get to know his plan because we have a part in it. He has planned for us to be a part of his plan. And so we need to prioritize his plan. How else do we discern the will of God? Well, we start with God's revealed will in his word. We start with God's revealed will in his word. And it starts with trusting God's word as our authority. I want to read that. I want to read this section to us in verse 15, verses 15 through 20. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field, and there he fell headlong. His body burst open, and all of his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it.'" We need to start with God's revealed will in his word that he's given to us. And we need to trust God's word as our authority. Now, when you look at that passage, right, that's a small start of the church, isn't it? 120 people. And yet God was going to use this group to change the world. God made plans. He has plans, and he is going to accomplish his plan. Now, when you look at this passage, I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer out loud, but do you notice something different here? Do you notice this huge monumental change that has taken place? And I'll give you a hint. It's in somebody. The change has to do with somebody. The change that we should see here in this passage is in Peter. Remember what all that had transpired right before the resurrection? Think about even just during Jesus's crucifixion and death on the cross. Think about the events that led up to that. Think about what Peter did during that time, right? Peter, not too long ago, was cowering in fear, denying Jesus, hiding for his life, scared for his life. But now look at him here in verses 15 through 20. He stands up like he's the leader of this bunch, in which he is, and he speaks with confidence. He speaks with authority. Where just not too long ago, he was cowering in fear. How could such a change take place? Now you might say, well, of course, the Holy Spirit. Well, yes, the Holy Spirit, but there's also something else that we have to notice, that we must notice, because this is true for us. And yes, it's true that as believers, we have the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that was given to them is the same Holy Spirit that is in you and me when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But here's the other factor in that change that I want us to recognize. There was a change in Peter's life because he knew God's word and he finally started to understand it. Remember, Jesus spent time with them explaining the law, the prophets, all of God's word up until that point. He knew it. He understood it. His eyes were open to the truth, and there was no way he could keep it to himself. You see, his understanding of God's word led to a radical change in perspective. It changed. It blew his mind. You see, the disciples, they knew the Old Testament. They knew it through and through. They had learned it from when they were young, and some of them, and they had learned it from Jesus. Firsthand, Jesus went through it with them. But here's the thing. But now, during this passage here, this section of scripture, but now everything that they had witnessed and lived through up until this moment, they realized it was a fulfillment of God's word. God's word that they had studied and known and memorized was all coming true. The prophecies were being fulfilled. Everything that they had gone through, it was foretold in scripture. You know, verse 16, right? What does Peter say? What does he say? He says, everything that scripture says had to be fulfilled. Can you imagine what it would have been like for Jesus to connect the dots for these guys? From creation to the fall, all the laws and the prophets, the coming Messiah, Jesus's capture and death, his crucifixion and his resurrection. It all made sense now. And they didn't, I mean, there were still things that they had to learn, but it was making sense now. Their whole life's plans just became a whole lot clearer as God's truth began to come in focus for them. So how can we discern God's will? We start with God's revealed word, and we trust God's word as our authority. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And we know that God prepared in advance work for us to do as Christians. But all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We need to trust God's word as our authority. We need to look to it for guidance, for truth. In our decisions, we need to go to God and go to his word for wisdom and for truth. And we apply his truth to our lives. Not only must we trust it as our authority, but we must also let God's word direct our lives. You must let his word direct your life. It's one thing to know God's word, right? But it's another thing to trust it and to obey it and to live it out and to let God's truths and promises shape the way that we live and speak and act and make decisions. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let God's word direct your life. Far too often do we see ourselves being more and more conformed to be like the world who doesn't follow Jesus. And sometimes this is happening unconsciously, subconsciously. But it happens because we're not making an intentional choice to direct our focus and prioritize God's word. You see, think about what you allow to fill your mind. Think about what you allow to come through your eyes and your ears on a daily basis. And I ask you, dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, think of the difference that would happen in your life if you allowed what's coming in through your eyes, through your ears, if that was God's word, if it was God's truth. Think about the difference that God's word would make in your life. Because we're either being conformed to God or we're conforming to the world. We need to let God's word direct our life. And we also need to do what he says. We need to do what God says. This is what the disciples were doing, right? They were missing. They needed 12. And Judas was no longer there. And so they had to complete the group before the Holy Spirit would come. And you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. It's a wise thing to put God's word into practice. Because the alternative, if we reject God's word, if we don't know God's word, if we don't seek to know God's word and to know how to live wisely, then the opposite is, then we are living foolishly. And see, that's why we see, and that's why we experience often, sometimes, right? Being shaken by this circumstance, by that circumstance. It's like our lives are a roller coaster. And we feel like we're being tossed here and there. It's because we don't have a solid foundation on the rock of Jesus Christ. We don't have a foundation set on the truth of God and His Word. We need to commit and prioritize doing what God says, and not just learning about it, and not just memorizing it, but doing it. You see, Peter, what is he doing? Peter is able to look at God's word in the Old Testament that spoke about a suffering servant, referring to Jesus, right? All the prophecies about a suffering servant, about Jesus, and how he would be betrayed, as well as how the betrayer would need to be replaced. And he refers to the book of Psalms. He refers to Psalm 41:9. He refers to Psalm 55. Now, here's something important to remember about how God is accomplishing his will. He did not make Judas betray Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus through his own choices. But in God's sovereignty, the fact that he's in control of all things, God planned for Judas to do this as a part of his redemptive plan. Right? Everyone has a role to play in God's ultimate plan, both Christians and non-Christians. But this realization, think about the disciples as Peter is sharing this, pointing to back to the scriptures, pointing to the book of Psalms, this realization that is being made about Judas and the fact that they finally could connect the dots from the Old Testament was amazing. This was amazing. And so when you continue to look at that passage, right, you look at verse 18, it tells us more about Judas, what happened to him. He got his money. He felt guilty. He ended up purchasing a lot with that money from the religious leaders. And in verse 20, we see his tragic end, right? He hung himself and we don't know every detail, but somehow he fell. And pretty graphic, right? Bursts open upon impact. But see, this was all planned by God. You don't miss the fact that God is working out every detail of his plan through everything that's happening. Psalms 69:25, that's predicted that Judas' position would be vacated. Psalm 109, verse 8, predicted that someone else will take his place. And Peter sees this in the word, and he finally gets it, right? It's all making sense to them now and to Peter. And he sees the detailed fulfillment of the Old Testament truths. So I ask you, dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, how does God's word affect how you see life? How does God's word affect how you view the circumstances that you face today? Because it's God's word that reveals his plan for the world and his plan for you and me. And so lastly, how can we discern God's will? Well, we can discern God's will when we look through the lens of God's revealed will to see his concealed will, right? Everything is not laid out here in the Bible. We don't know. God doesn't tell us, you know, what school to go to in the Bible. He doesn't tell us what job we should pursue and obtain. But how can we make those decisions? How can we know what God wants in those decisions and in those situations? Well, here I want to offer this to you, this encouragement. As we look at this passage and as we see the disciples making this decision about how to choose the next disciple, the next apostle. Well, in order to look through the lens of God's revealed will and see his concealed will, we need to gather information. We need to seek God in prayer, and we need to make a decision. Ultimately, we need to make a decision and trust that God is in control, even though we don't have all the information. I read it to you, Acts chapter 1, verses 21 through 26. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take over the apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. So, how can we discern God's will? Well, looking through the lens of what he has revealed to us in his word, we can start to see his concealed will, some things that aren't obvious. And what would it look like for us to do this again? What did the apostles do? So the apostles knew that there had to be 12, right? They knew from God's word that there was 12 of them. Now there's 11. And so they had to find a replacement. They took that information that was given to them and they made a choice. And we got to find a replacement. And they knew the qualifications of an apostle, right? The qualifications of an apostle was to be an eyewitness of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, but not only to be a witness, but to also be chosen by God. And so that was the part that they needed help with. God, who are you choosing? Who would you choose to be the 12th apostle? And so based off of those qualifications that they knew, there were two candidates, right? Joseph and Matthias. How did they choose? Well, the scripture tells us, right? They went to God in prayer. And that's what we need to do also. When we are making a decision, an important one, when we are seeking God's will and to know and ask for his guidance, we need to go to God in prayer. Prayer is talking with God. Prayer recognizes that we need God and that we cannot do it on our own. And so they talked to God. They went to God in prayer, recognizing that they need him. They need his wisdom. They need his guidance. They need his provision. And they asked God to show them. They asked God to provide and to lead them to the right answer. And that's when we, as God leads us, as we ask for his help, he leads us to make a decision. And that's when we need to trust that he ultimately is sovereign. And move forward in faith. And what did the disciples do? Well, they cast lots. Okay, yeah, we remember casting lots. We think about it maybe as drawing straws, okay, to determine who gets that or what decision to make. That's what they did. And I tell you this, right? This was actually a common way to make decisions back then. Okay, so it wasn't like gambling or anything like that, but it was a common practice traditionally to cast lots in order to decide. And it sounds kind of weird, right? It sounds like, what are you just, you're talking about God had it all planned out and it seems like they're just giving it to chance by casting lots. But if you write this reference down and you look it up, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, it says this, Proverbs 16:33, the lot casts into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. The lot casts into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. What does this mean? Yes, they drew straws, they drew sticks, whatever they did exactly to decide between those two men. Okay, and ultimately they picked Matthias, but We must remember every decision is from the Lord. God is in control. He has a plan, and he's going to see it through to completion. And that includes you, and that includes me. And I want to end with this passage, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So, dear brother and sister, dear friend, will you prioritize God's plan? Will you seek him? Will you go to him? Will you go to his word and learn it and understand it and allow his word to direct you? What decision do you face today? And will you go to God? Will you surrender to God? Will you surrender to his plan, to surrender to his will and to his way and to his word? Because we know that discerning God's will requires surrender, a surrender of our will to his way and to his word. And so I want to invite you to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your truth. God, thank you that we have hindsight. We have the benefit of hindsight. We can look back into your word. We can scour the scriptures and see what happened long ago and see how you worked your perfect plan out. Your plan of redemption. Your plan of providing a savior for us so that our sin would no longer separate us from you. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your amazing love. And God, thank you for the example that we see here of the apostles, of how they went to you, God, and went to your word in making this decision, this very important decision of choosing the last apostle. God, thank you that we see that they trusted you, God. They prioritized you. And they sought to be obedient to your word. They sought your will to be done. God, I thank you for that example. I thank you, God, for the encouragement that we can draw from this short passage as well. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters who have decisions, important decisions before them. God, I pray that you would give them wisdom. I pray, God, that you would help them not to worry or to be anxious, but to trust, God, that you are with them. I pray that they would depend, God, on your presence and upon your power, the power of the Holy Spirit that is inside each one of us as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that in light of your word, your revelation to us, God, that we would make choices, God, that are in alignment with your word, and that we would trust in faith, God, that you will work things out according to your perfect plan. And so, God, I thank you. God, I pray that you would refresh us from the inside out. And God, I pray, maybe there's someone joining us online this morning that has this one very important decision to make. And that's a decision of whether they're going to receive Jesus through faith as their Lord and Savior or reject you. And God, I pray that they would choose to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior right now. And God, you tell us that all we have to do to be saved is to trust you, to put our faith in you, to confess with our mouth, to believe in our heart that Jesus was your son, that he died on the cross and rose from the dead, and confess with our mouth that Jesus, you are not, I want you to be my Lord. Thank you for being my Savior. And we can know that our sins are forgiven and that they will no longer separate us from you, and that we will be with you and you will be with us for the rest of forever. God, I pray that if there's anyone that has that decision before them today, that they would choose to put their faith in Jesus Christ right now and confess him as Lord, and that they would know and that they would be able to move forward from this very moment in freedom with the blessed assurance of knowing, God, that they're going to be with you for the rest of forever. God, I thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for each one that's joining us today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And God, thank you for having a plan. And thank you, God, for loving us and planning for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 69:25, that's predicted that Judas' position would be vacated. Psalm 109:8 predicted that someone else will take his place. And Peter sees this in the word and he finally gets it, right? It's all making sense to them now and to Peter. And he sees the detailed fulfillment of the Old Testament truths. So I ask you, dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, how does God's word affect how you see life? How does God's word affect how you view the circumstances that you face today? Because it's God's word that reveals his plan for the world and his plan for you and me. And so lastly, how can we discern God's will? Well, we can discern God's will when we look through the lens of God's revealed will to see his concealed will, right? Everything is not laid out here in the Bible. We don't know. God doesn't tell us, you know, what school to go to in the Bible. He doesn't tell us what job we should pursue and obtain. But how can we make those decisions? How can we know what God wants in those decisions and in those situations? Well, here I want to offer this to you, this encouragement. As we look at this passage and as we see the disciples making this decision about how to choose the next disciple, the next apostle. Well, in order to look through the lens of God's revealed will and see his concealed will, we need to gather information. We need to seek God in prayer. And we need to make a decision. Ultimately, we need to make a decision and trust that God is in control, even though we don't have all the information. Read it to you. Acts chapter 1 verses 21 through 26. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take over the apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. So, how can we discern God's will? Well, looking through the lens of what he has revealed to us in his word, we can start to see his concealed will, some things that aren't obvious. And what would it look like for us to do this again? What did the apostles do? So the apostles knew that there had to be 12, right? They knew from God's word that there was 12 of them. Now there's 11. And so they had to find a replacement. They took that information that was given to them and they made a choice. And we got to find a replacement. And they knew the qualifications of an apostle, right? The qualifications of an apostle was to be an eyewitness of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, but not only to be a witness, but to also be chosen by God. And so that was the part that they needed help with. God, who are you choosing? Who would you choose to be the 12th apostle? And so based off of those qualifications that they knew, there were two candidates, right? Joseph and Matthias. How did they choose? Well, the scripture tells us, right? They went to God in prayer. And that's what we need to do also. When we are making a decision, an important one, when we are seeking God's will and to know and ask for his guidance, we need to go to God in prayer. Prayer is talking with God. Prayer recognizes that we need God and that we cannot do it on our own. And so they talked to God. They went to God in prayer, recognizing that they need him. They need his wisdom. They need his guidance. They need his provision. And they asked God to show them. They asked God to provide and to lead them to the right answer. And that's when we, as God leads us, as we ask for his help, he leads us to make a decision. And that's when we need to trust that he ultimately is sovereign. And move forward in faith. And what did the disciples do? Well, they cast lots. Okay, yeah, we remember casting lots. We think about it maybe as drawing straws, okay, to determine who gets that or what decision to make. That's what they did. And I tell you this, right? This was actually a common way to make decisions back then. Okay, so it wasn't like gambling or anything like that, but it was a common practice traditionally to cast lots in order to decide. And it sounds kind of weird, right? It sounds like, what are you just, you're talking about God had it all planned out and it seems like they're just giving it to chance by casting lots. But if you write this reference down and you look it up, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, it says this, Proverbs 16:33, the lot casts into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. The lot casts into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. What does this mean? Yes, they drew straws, they drew sticks, whatever they did exactly to decide between those two men. Okay, and ultimately they picked Matthias, but we must remember every decision is from the Lord. God is in control. He has a plan, and he's going to see it through to completion. And that includes you, and that includes me. And I want to end with this passage, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So dear brother and sister, dear friend, will you prioritize God's plan? Will you seek him? Will you go to him? Will you go to his word and learn it and understand it and allow his word to direct you? What decision do you face today? And will you go to God? Will you surrender to God? Will you surrender to his plan, to surrender to his will and to his way and to his word? Because we know that discerning God's will requires surrender, a surrender of our will to his way and to his word. And so I want to invite you to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your truth. God, thank you that we have hindsight. We have the benefit of hindsight. We can look back into your word. We can scour the scriptures and see what happened long ago and see how you worked your perfect plan out. Your plan of redemption. Your plan of providing a savior for us so that our sin would no longer separate us from you. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your amazing love. And God, thank you for the example that we see here of the apostles, of how they went to you, God, and went to your word in making this decision, this very important decision of choosing the last apostle. God, thank you that we see that they trusted you, God. They prioritized you. And they sought to be obedient to your word. They sought your will to be done. God, I thank you for that example. I thank you, God, for the encouragement that we can draw from this short passage as well. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters who have decisions, important decisions before them. God, I pray that you would give them wisdom. I pray, God, that you would help them not to worry or to be anxious, but to trust, God, that you are with them. I pray that they would depend, God, on your presence and upon your power, the power of the Holy Spirit that is inside each one of us as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that in light of your word, your revelation to us, God, that we would make choices, God, that are in alignment with your word, and that we would trust in faith, God, that you will work things out according to your perfect plan. And so, God, I thank you. God, I pray that you would refresh us from the inside out. And God, I pray, maybe there's someone joining us online this morning that has this one very important decision to make. And that's a decision of whether they're going to receive Jesus through faith as their Lord and Savior or reject you. God, I pray that they would choose to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior right now. And God, you tell us that all we have to do to be saved is to trust you, to put our faith in you, to confess with our mouth, to believe in our heart that Jesus was your son, that he died on the cross and rose from the dead, and confess with our mouth that Jesus, you are not, I want you to be my Lord. Thank you for being my Savior. And we can know that our sins are forgiven and that they will no longer separate us from you, and that we will be with you and you will be with us for the rest of forever. God, I pray that if there's anyone that has that decision before them today, that they would choose to put their faith in Jesus Christ right now and confess him as Lord, and that they would know and that they would be able to move forward from this very moment in freedom with the blessed assurance of knowing, God, that they're going to be with you for the rest of forever. God, I thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for each one that's joining us today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And God, thank you for having a plan. And thank you, God, for loving us and planning for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Benefit of hindsight, we can look back into your word, we can scour the scriptures and see what happened long ago and see how you worked your perfect plan out. Your plan of redemption, your plan of providing a savior for us so that our sin would no longer separate us from you. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your amazing love. And God, thank you for the example that we see here of the apostles, of how they went to you, God, and went to your word in making this decision, this very important decision of choosing the last apostle. God, thank you that we see that they trusted you, God. They prioritized you. And they sought to be obedient to your word. They sought your will to be done. God, I thank you for that example. I thank you, God, for the encouragement that we can draw from this short passage as well. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters who have decisions, important decisions before them. God, I pray that you would give them wisdom. I pray, God, that you would help them not to worry or to be anxious, but to trust, God, that you are with them. I pray that they would depend, God, on your presence and upon your power, the power of the Holy Spirit that is inside each one of us as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that in light of your word, your revelation to us, God, that we would make choices, God, that are in alignment with your word, and that we would trust in faith, God, that you will work things out according to your perfect plan. And so, God, I thank you. God, I pray that you would refresh us from the inside out. And God, I pray, maybe there's someone joining us online this morning that has this one very important decision to make. And that's a decision of whether they're going to receive Jesus through faith as their Lord and Savior or reject you. God, I pray that they would choose to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior right now. And God, you tell us that all we have to do to be saved is to trust you, to put our faith in you, to confess with our mouth, to believe in our heart that Jesus was your son, that he died on the cross and rose from the dead, and confess with our mouth that Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. Thank you for being my Savior. And we can know that our sins are forgiven and that they will no longer separate us from you, and that we will be with you and you will be with us for the rest of forever. God, I pray that if there's anyone that has that decision before them today, that they would choose to put their faith in Jesus Christ right now and confess him as Lord, and that they would know and that they would be able to move forward from this very moment in freedom with the blessed assurance of knowing, God, that they're going to be with you for the rest of forever. God, I thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for each one that's joining us today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And God, thank you for having a plan. And thank you, God, for loving us and planning for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.